Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
Today we have the honor of hearing from one of our leaders, and I'm really excited to hear from this brother who I've known for 14 years now, and has become one of my closest friends on the planet, and I'm really excited to see all that God does in and through him in this coming year and this coming season, because I believe that God's only getting started with him and his wonderful family. And as he comes up here, all I can continuously hear is Every Nation Gold Coast. I'm just excited. So representing for the GC out of Every Nation Brisbane, please give it up for one of our faithful leaders, Norman Alsawa, to bring the word of God for us today.
Thank you, Pastor. How's everyone doing? You know, the lead up coming to church, I'm thinking, man, it just feels like I'm getting ready for a game. For those of you who played, if you play professional football, good on you. But if you played just normal, rugby and stuff or league, preparing for a game is always a nervous thing, leading right up to when you get into the changing room. And so here, I'm in the changing room right here. I'm sitting down there. And I'm thinking, man, I'm shaking. I thought, oh, here we go. All right, countdown's on. Where I'm going this, I don't know, but I thought I just want to share it with you. So anyway, as Pastor Nelly's going through the notice, the announcements, I'm thinking, man, time's coming. Yep, all right, I'm ready to take the field. And so here I am today with this privilege of sharing a message with you. Now, it's not up there. Anyway, just let me pray first, and then we'll get on to the rest of the message. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for tonight, for every person that you've brought here, that this message is going to speak to that very person that needed to be encouraged. Father, as even when I prepared for this, it's been not only a challenge, but an encouragement to keep pressing on. That strength is not all about being physically strong, but having the mental capacity to keep moving forward. Also the strength, the inner strength, to continue to press on when the chips are down and the going gets tough. We rise up as you did and move on. Bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Who here has made a New Year's resolution? Then put your hand up. Who here knows of anyone that has made a New Year's resolution? Cool. All right. I myself have made 3 New Year's resolutions. First one is the planning, not only the planning of a Gold Coast church, but also the beginning of a life group down on the Gold Coast starting very, very soon. If I give a date, then it's really going to happen on that date. Secondly, is my job. You see, I've only been in this job for about a year. Tua knows this. And with a job, as a contractor, you get paid per job. And so I started off with just one job, literally one job a day. I'm at a stage now where I'm doing about 5 or 6. So, long story short, increased job numbers means more money, means more tithe, means happy wife. Thirdly, my third resolution is obviously health and fitness, and reason being is I want to be around a lot longer for, as cliched as it sounds, I want to be around a lot longer for my kids, also be an example to them physically, as well as the spiritual side, to be continued. But anyway, there's a fourth option, but I didn't really factor this into my New Year's resolution, and one of them is standing here before you all and preaching. Public speaking has never been a strong point. Usually, if you give me a ball, I'll run it straight to the hardest person that is standing in front of me, that is getting ready to tackle me. I'll do anything physically, but when it comes to public speaking or anything of the like, meow. I'm just being honest. I'm just being real with you all here, and there's nothing. there's nothing awesome about it, especially if our lead pastor can be as real as he was last week when, you know, the thing that hit me, well, there are plenty of things he said, but one of them that really stood out was a challenge that he laid was, if you don't want to come to church, don't come to church. He doesn't want to force you. And I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty huge coming from the front in terms of, you know, because church, growing up in the church, it's all about numbers and everything else that comes with it. But anyway, I'm here, you're here, and we're going to move right along. Okay, so anyway, when Pastor Nelly asked me to preach today, last month, my initial reaction was, no, no. And then, you know, I was thinking, oh, man. Straight away, I thought of Edwina's older brother. Every time I speak with him, he always says to me, where do you live? Where do you live, Norm? I'm just going to go on a little bit about that. You see, when he challenged me, those basic words, where do you live? I'm living in my comfort zone, is what he said to me. God himself is waiting for me outside of the comfort zone. Where do you live? Where do you live? There's a lot of us here. A lot of us here, talking to myself here. You know, like Pastor Nelly said, we've known each other for 14 years. And, you know, I've been living in my comfort zone. I've been living in the shadows of the leaders. I've been just doing what I needed to do to stay in church or clock in, clock out, do my thing, go home. But now I feel that our family is coming to a season, and this is recorded. I know I'm going to listen to this in years to come. I'm coming into a season where we are coming out of, you know, like how the Israelites, how they were in bondage. And so when Moses led them out, 40 years it took them to get to the promised land. It's taken me 40 years to be here again, because I am 40, just in case. It's taken me 40 years to come out and really be confident in what I have to share with you, you know, because, like I said, I'm not really a public speaker. So today's message, as you know, is entitled Get in Shape, which is what Pastor Nelly's been talking about over the last 2 weeks. And so when you think of getting in shape, he's given me the opportunity to speak about strength. Straight away, when you think of strength, what are the images or what are your thoughts that come to mind when you hear of strength? I can think of, don't worry about that. That actually is not part of it. So I can think of physically, you think of a man who's big or a woman who is big, burly, and strong, right? Someone who can push weights, complete many reps, and when I Googled the strongest man for 2014, because I wanted to know who the strongest man for 2014 was, it came up with this guy. That. Hang on, let me explain. He is the strongest man in his own home. In his own home. And in case if you're wondering, I did lift that, only just. But you see, when we talk about strength, we're talking about physical strength, right? We always refer to or think of people who are strong, big, you know, they've got, people who have big muscles and all. But when we talk about strength in the spiritual sense, what does that look like? You know, when you flick through the pages in the Bible, you read stories of Moses, of when, how he walked into a court of the most powerful ruler of the day, and all he had was just a walking stick, or he had a stick as his weapon. And you think of Gideon, an inexperienced leader, faced thousands and thousands of ruthless warriors, and all he had was a band of 300 men. And then you come with David, and we all know David, a young shepherd boy. You know, as small as he was, he faced a giant, and he slayed him with just a stone and a sling. In the Bible, you always read the little guy beats the big guy. In our day, in our time, when you look at the big guy, straight away you think the big guy will beat the small guy, right? Okay, you're probably thinking, where am I going with this? If we all could read 1 Timothy 4:7, 8. Yeah. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical strength is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical strength is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. You know, how many of you know that? For me, it's easy to get out and train. Do what I need to do to get my body into shape, to beat my body, to do the things that you don't want to do. Yet when it comes to the spiritual things, I tend to shy away, to be honest. Why? Because, you know, what am I going to get out of it spiritually? The thing is that a long time ago when I was playing rugby back home in New Zealand, and rugby was all I ever thought about. I trained in the off season. I even trained leading up to the preseason. And I only just got saved, and in that time I was praying to God. I said, God, I need you to help me. I want to become an effective Christian. I don't want to be just a normal person who just goes to church and just gives his tithe and say hi to everyone. I want to be someone different. And so back then we had our Bible school called VLI that Seda would know, as well as Pastor Nelly. And we all, well, actually, they went to it first. They went to VLI while I was still training. You see, the reason why I was still training is because I was told I was going to be the captain of a rugby team, the captain of the club team. And so for that, for me, was a huge honor. And as hard as I trained physically to do what I needed to do to lead a bunch of 22 men, to be an example, I was prepared to do that. And I told Pastor Ken, I said, Pastor Ken, I can't come to VLI because I have rugby. What night's a VLI on? Tuesday night. Yeah, Tuesday night's my rugby training. Pastor Ken said it in love. He said, Norm, anyone can be the captain of a rugby team. Oh, that broke my heart. I had 6'5" American come to New Zealand tell me that anyone can be the captain of a rugby team. I thought, what does this guy know about rugby? I mean, he's just all American, so what? Anyway, long story short, I have one of these. I play the game, and you know, to be honest, I was very fortunate to not be injured severely or have a serious injury. So what happened was, this one time, I get injured, and I thought, oh no, it's a sign. I got to do something about this. Anyway, I get a revelation, and ladies, you'll be stunned to know that I fold washing as well. And so it was during the time I was folding my rugby gear, to be exact. I was folding my rugby gear, and God said, Norm, you have prayed all this time wanting to be equipped as a Christian. I brought you the tools to train you. VLI has come from America to come here to teach you and train you up in the ways of God. And you're still playing rugby? I kid you not, I walked downstairs, teary-eyed. I think it was raining in the room. So anyway, the window was open. And I said to my wife, I said, "Hun, you know, God spoke to me clearly that I need to go VLI." You should have seen a reaction. Duh. You know, as much as my wife wanted to tell me right there and then that I needed to go, she knew that I needed a firsthand revelation from God, which I got. And so, going to VLI not only changed my life, it also equipped me. You see, it takes real strength to realize that when you want to chase the things of God, you have to know to say no to the things of the natural. Meaning, for me personally, if there are things that are going on at church, I know I need to be there because it trains me up. It makes not only helps me to be a better person, but it helps me to also be an effective Christian. That's my first point. Discipline. And so, after praying to God and asking for forgiveness on my knees, I went to VLI. I got equipped. And here I am today. I'm able to share something to you. Whether or not if it hits the mark, you know, I've sown a seed. And I know that seed is going to grow. You did not come here by accident. You did not come into this church thinking, "Oh, it's just another church service because some person invited me." You came here to listen, to be encouraged. And these are just 4 points that I want to quickly touch on discipline to become an effective Christian. Five. First one is to pray, which you all do, I know. Read your Bible, fellowship, one-to-one, and purple book. You know, these are just every nation's. The purple book and the one-to-one, they're just some of our tools that we use to equip everyone here. Pray, read your Bible. That goes without saying. You all know, which I know you all do. You know, and so it takes a lot of discipline to really get to wherever God has called you to be. You know, too often that, like right now, I'm thinking, wow, again, to be here again is an opportunity, and I pray that nothing goes missed. The second point is motivation. Motivation. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it a slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." And as I said, there's always going to be distractions that come your way. There's always going to be things that's going to stop you. They're going to hinder you from being equipped. Like I mentioned earlier, my hindrance was my focus to try to go as far as I could in rugby. And it wasn't until that time, that moment where God had clearly spoken to me, where I needed to be, was where my priorities started to fall into place. You see, it's not always about getting the physical in the right shape. You see, you go on YouTube, you go onto Google and you think Facebook and Instagram, there's always articles about health and fitness, what to eat, what exercises to do. But I haven't yet to come across one where it talks about your spirit. And we all know that in order for your spirit to be strong is to be where you need to be, where it's mostly important, which is in church, as well as reading your word in your own time. You see, a few years ago, when we arrived, that was me. 6 years ago next week, we arrived and we stayed with Siosi and Ray, who hosted us. Thank you for that, guys, and the kids. And so I came looking like, that's 132 kgs. And so I come here thinking, yep, I'm getting away from every nation. I'm coming here, start a new life. We're with great people, and I'm just going to do what I want to do. But that wasn't so, because God had other plans. You know, God's so funny. My plans was to come here and relax and just do whatever I wanted to do. But here I am today holding a mic speaking to you. How crazy is that? And so the church that we attended was called Hosanna. And the pastor there, he was also a qualified personal trainer. And so he ran a boot camp. And so I didn't do boot camps or any form of exercise until we arrived here. And I thank Siosi and Ray for helping us to get out of the rut that we were in, especially myself. Because when we arrived, they looked really, really healthy, because at the time they were doing their fast. And so we were talking, and I said, what are you guys doing? They told us. I thought, oh, yep. Yeah, we know about the fast. Oh, I know about the fasting. It doesn't work for me, but, you know. Like I said, at the time I come here, and I was thinking with my own agenda. And so we went along to this church, and you know, we started to get involved again. And so they run a boot camp, a challenge, an 8-week challenge. And so you had to pay money, you know, like the Biggest Loser. So you pay money, you pay a certain amount of money. The person that lost the most weight was the winner. So my focus, my motivation for that 8-week challenge was to win the prize money. So I, seriously, knows. So I trained. You know, people would ask me, are you doing anything during the week? No. Are you doing it? Because you're looking good. Yeah, nah. I just do what we do. And so the church would hold boot camps, right, on the Sunday, and I think the Saturday and a few other days. And I'd make it out as if that was all I was doing, but I was doing extras. Because my motivation was to win the money. That was my motivation. After the 8-week challenge, we all weighed in, as you do. And then they made the announcement later on that evening. I came third. I couldn't believe I came third. The girl that beat me, she beat me by 200 grams. Now, 200 grams, you go get a block of butter, cut it 200 grams. That's how much she beat me. But the winner himself, he blew us out of the park. But you see, my motivation was wrong. Well, actually, no, it was right, because I wanted the money. I wanted the money so bad that I did whatever I needed to do to win, but it wasn't so. And so you see, what happened there was, what I learned from that experience was my heart. My heart was focused on winning the money, which was, you know, they say that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall speak, and where everything comes out of the heart, the body will follow. That's what I did. And so the money wasn't, I didn't get that. And I knew straight away God was teaching me something. He said, you know, it's not always about your physical being where you need to train, Norm. You need to train your spirit as well. You know, like I said, strength. It takes real strength to continue to walk in this race, to walk in as a Christian. It's easy. For people who have gone and come away, it even takes more strength and courage to come back into church. I applaud those people who come back. Why? Because they know they've experienced the love of God, and they go away They know the truth. They come back. That's strength. That's real strength. You know, I'm not, you know, as big and burly people are and strong as they are with the weights that they push, that's okay physically, but spiritually, if you are strong and steadfast spiritually, you can withstand anything that the devil throws at you. Anything that the devil will come, yeah, take it on the chin, move on. Go to people that will help you, that will help pray for you and encourage you. And so my encouragement is that although strength itself is not always going to be lifting the weights and stuff, it's about where we go from here. Pastor Nelly alluded that 2015 is going to be our year. 2015 is going to be our year as a family. We're stepping out. We're doing things that we only verbally said. Now it comes the action part. So much so, like as you would if you were to lose weight. Anyone can make a resolution. Anyone can say a resolution. But when you follow it, when you action it, that's when things work. Amen? So, the challenge here is, where to from here? For those of you who feel that this is a time where I need to stand up and be counted. As I say to my kids, you know, we're all about making Jesus famous, not making me famous. We're all about making Jesus famous. It's easier to stand up here and say it. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Where are your priorities lie? And if I can just say this to the men only, this is a time where you need to stand up. I myself need to stand up and be counted to lead my family. It's not about us anymore. It's not about us anymore. It's about the next generation. And if you capture this, we are in a position of doing something great. The church plant here, people down the years, in years to come, they're going to look back and think, yeah, Pepe and Mariah were there. Yeah, they were part of that. So were Seda and Neville. So were the Mendozas. They were there. They were there right from the start. Look where we are today. It's never about us. As the scripture says, physically, we all run for a prize that don't last. But the ultimate prize has eternal significance. This is me after the 8-week challenge. As young as I look there, yeah, you know, I was pretty happy to lose so much weight. Although I came third, although the result didn't go my way, you know. To get to that stage and to be where I am now, physically, I'm stoked, if I could say. Spiritually, I'm going to another level. Why? Because I'm going to hang around this man who's going to teach me more about the Word of God. And I encourage everyone here, especially you men, we got Man Cave coming up. Get there. Be equipped. If you need someone to disciple you, there's Tour, Seda. Where's the Mendozas? Oh, there he is. They're all here. Come on, you know, let's get up and get physical and get ready to take this to another level. Amen. Okay, we've changed. I'm gonna pray now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. I just pray that I know, Lord, that your word will never return void. Lord, that even if anyone here just catches my heart, Lord, that there is urgency in what we do, that every breath we take is a breath closer to death, and that we make our lives count, that we not only train our physical being, but we need to train our spirit being more. Father, allow us, although you allow us to make mistakes and learn from them, we thank you for the second, the third, the fourth chances you give us. And Lord, I just ask that for every, especially the men, to rise and lead, and everyone will follow in years to come, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on, y'all, you know what to do. Give it up. That was awesome, man. Before, after, before, after. Golly, he's just stand up here and give conviction. Just a couple of things just to tail off the end of that. Sweet. How many of you were challenged and blessed by that message? I think Norm's life is a massive testimony, myself as well. I think for all of us, it's just this whole service and how God has orchestrated everything for us to, you know, be called out of the boat of our comfort zone. Where do we live? You know, that challenge. And to walk out on water. And now we know physically, in physics, that that's impossible. But life is such an adventure when you live in that place of uncertainty and being able to fully trust in God to the point where you have no idea what's going to happen next. That's the zone that Tina and I have been pretty much basing our marriage on, and it's been awesome. And I take no credit for it. I mean, even this week, I just want to testify. This week, a lot of the reason why we're here, guys, I mean, let me go back. A lot of the reason why we moved here from Singapore, apart from the wonderful opportunity that we have to be your pastors, is for the development of our children. All three of them are very creative. And then our son was diagnosed with autism at the beginning of last year. Oh, well, yeah, at the end of 2013, and then the beginning of last year, he was officially diagnosed with autism. And so we were like, you know, okay, well, God's given us this blessing of being able to raise this son of ours who's very unique. And, you know, we'd received many prophecies over his life way before this diagnosis, knowing that God was going to bring breakthrough, even though we didn't know what he was going to bring him breakthrough for. But long story short, a lot of the reason why Tina and I find ourselves here with our kids is for the development of our children. And so when God showed us that we're to come to Brisbane, we were really excited for the church, but also for the development of our kids. Being in this environment here in Brisbane, it's a lot more conducive for their development. And the programs that they have here and the equipping that they have here is a lot less clinical than, is that a nice way of saying it, than Singapore? Because Singapore is very methodical, but the nurturing is a lot better here in Australia. And so we wanted him to be in that sort of environment where he would be able to integrate a lot quicker. And there's a specific school that we wanted him to go to upon deciding, okay, we're going to come out here to Queensland. And we started researching, and there's this particular institute that specializes in teaching autistic children. And we knew, okay, this is where Zion needs to be. Long story short, we get here and find out that the waiting list is about 70 kids long. And we're like, okay, God, you brought us all the way here, and we've got this major obstacle of 70 kids in our way. And also the cost is way beyond what we can afford. Fast forward to this week, okay? Because we've been living in that zone where, okay, God, I thought you brought us out here for the development of our kids. Well, hello, he's still not in the school 6 months later. You know, what the heck? You know, what's going on, man? How many of you have ever had that sort of prayer with God? What the heck? can't swear at the Lord. Come on, Lord, I'm desperate for you. And so that's been kind of our, you know, we don't, Tina and I, when we get in prayer, we don't really get polite. We just say help a lot. Like, help! And this week, on Tuesday, just after our staff meeting with Myrtle and Jay and Chris was at our house, and we just got a call, and we found out that he'd been accepted into the school, into the institute. He just fast-forwarded over, and leapfrogged over 70 kids, and so he starts tomorrow. And then we're like, yay! Hold on, how much does it cost again? So our prayers quickly switched from, you are an awesome God. And because you are an awesome God, you will also provide for this such and such five-figure whatever amount that we need to come up with. And he did. Let me just say he did. Praise God for Centrelink and their delayed payments. But, I've got two words for you. Lump sum. All right? God is good. Within 24 hours, guys, God came through. And he starts tomorrow. We'll be able to pay for the initial payment, and we're trusting God for the rest of it. I was just telling Tina, look, we've lived in this zone for, I can give you testimony after testimony of how God has been so faithful at every point. All he's doing is just saying, come on, Nelly, get your leg over the boat. I know that you weigh 100 and somewhat kilograms, but, and it's breaking all the laws of physics, but you come on out of that boat. Yeah, that's right, come. In Singapore, it was like, okay, come to Singapore. Yeah, marry this hot Filipina. All right, you're good. Okay, now I'm going to put you in charge of the youth ministry. Okay, and now I'm going to put you in charge of this worship team. Now we're going to start planting churches. Okay, now that's all good. Okay, you're traveling here, then, now come to Brisbane. He's constantly, life is like this. Come on with it. Come on. And the whole time, guys, it's an adventure. And the point of choice that you have today after hearing a word from Norm like this is, are you going to sit there in the boat and let life happen to you, or are you going to come out on this adventure out on the water where feet may fail, but the ocean is where it's at? That's why I moved here. Look, the ocean was fake in Singapore. They had fake man-made beaches. They had to import sand from Indonesia to Singapore. I mean, it's fake. I mean, Chris has been there, the Sentosa, where I got married. If you look at my wedding photos, it looks romantic, but if you look really hard in the background, you see oil tankers, and it's just not romantic at all. It's just the worst looking beach ever. See like bread bags floating up to the surface, and you can't swim in that. You come out with five diseases. But God calls all of us to come out on the ocean. He's calling us out of the shore, and he makes us brave, and he's calling us out. And he's calling you out. And he's calling you out today. And no matter what situation you find yourself in today, I want to encourage you that he's going to meet you at every step of the way. He will meet you. Can I get an amen from somebody who believes that? Amen. Come on. Amen. All right. So this is for all my boat steppers out there. If you're going to put your leg out over the boat and come on and walk out, we're going to give you the Purple Book Challenge. Purple Book Challenge. Again, if you are not on Facebook, get on Facebook and follow us on our, it's Every Nation, it's facebook.com/Every Nation Brisbane. And we'll be putting up every week, the sections of the Purple Book that we're going to go through. So again, tonight I'll be posting the song list that was sung today and also just the sections of the Purple Book that we're to go through. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with what a Purple Book is, it is not a picture book about Barney. It is a book that has 12 chapters in it that helps you to understand the biblical foundations of the faith of Christianity. And for those of you who have already done it, I highly encourage you to do it again. I've done it so many times, but I want to do it. Us to do it as a church, so that God will set the foundation for all of us, so as we move forward as a church, we'll know that there's a strong foundation for us to move in. So my sister Talitha has some purple books for sale outside. They're real cheap. I think there's something like $8, I think, something like that. Okay, and I'm really excited. If you know anybody, or you yourself want to be a part of the life group that we're going to be starting in the Gold Coast, I'm just going to say it, next month in February, please come and see Norman Easter after this. John, come on, man. We're going to go down and take the Gold Coast. But for the rest of us, if you know people or you want to be a part of that, please do come and see Norman Easter afterwards. We'll take your names and keep you posted with all that's happening down there. But that life group is just going to blow up. We were at Norman Easter's house last night, and I just walked in there, and it's like the angels started singing. It's like, this is where it needs to be at. And they were around the corner from all the restaurants too, so that's always good. Food and fellowship, always good to get before and after. want. Let me pray for you, everybody, before I get distracted. Father, I just want to thank you so much for my church family here. God, as a corporate body, we're going to move forward in all that you have for us, God. And Father, I thank you for the challenge that has come through your servant Norman today, Lord God, that you are calling us, yes, to value strength, physical strength. It is of some value, but Lord, beyond that, Lord God, we want to make a spiritual commitment. Lord, we hear the challenge both as men and everybody in here, Lord God, to rise up and take responsibility for where we are spiritually. Just as you took responsibility for the sin that we were once in and took it upon your shoulders, Lord, we want to take responsibility for our cities, God, for our communities. We want to take responsibility for our families. Lord God, that 2015 will be the year that you place upon our shoulders the burden that you have for this city and for the Gold Coast and for the whole of Queensland, Lord God. We come excited for what you're about to do, and we just commit ourselves to all that you're desiring to see happen in our lives. Just with everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, I know we don't have any music to woo you today, which is fine because we're relying on the Holy Spirit, not necessarily environments. But if you're here today and you really want to be serious about following after God and chasing after him today in the manner that Norm was talking about, just giving your all and going after him and saying, you know what, I'm going to take up this 8-week challenge and I'm going to, you know, pursue him spiritually with a fire like never before. If that's you today, just lift your hands so I know whom I'm praying for today. Lord, you see all these hands that have gone up, Lord. Father, I, alongside them, want to commit, Lord, to going deeper in you, wanting to go after you like never before. Lord, we take full commitment, Lord, to want to see ourselves develop in the strength and knowledge of who you are in our lives, Father. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, God bless you guys. You are the best-looking church in all of Brisbane. I'm serious. I don't know about that, you know, the other churches, but you're pretty good looking. It's pretty my wife isn't here. She would have taken it up a few notches, but you're okay. Stand your feet, high five 3 people, and then you are dismissed. Have an awesome week ahead. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.